Good morning and welcome. Please sign the attendance pad found at the end of the pews and pass it down. I'd like to bring a couple announcements to your attention. With our calendar, today starting at 4 is the community meal. So if you don't feel like cooking, come on, join in, and you can have a nice healthy meal. Tuesday night is the nurture meeting, and Wednesday afternoon will be the memorial meeting. And next Saturday is Day of Faith being held at McFarland's, and that will run from 10 to 2, and the church will have a booth there. So if you're not busy, feel free to stop by and join in on that. Please join me in our praise. What shall we do? Our hearts are heavy, our spirits are worn with care. To whom? Bring your cares to the Lord. God hears our cries. In the adventure of life, we have found you.
By your powerful grace, you have found us.
Come, now the time is ready for worship. Please stand and join in our prayer. We gather this morning, O God, eager to feel your healing touch for our wounded spirits and weary souls. God of peace and hope, we open our hearts to you this day. Be with us as we hear
your word of inspiration and healing.
Flood our lives with your peace. Shine your light of joy in our souls this day. Guide our hearts and spirits as we seek to be witnesses
to your redeeming and reconciling love. Amen.
Please join in singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, found in the red hymnal number 526.
Oh, You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Come on down. Do you want to come up? You're welcome to. Okay, let's sit down. Okay. Well, what I have to ask you is easier if you've got brothers or sisters in your house. And you each have a brother, right? Yeah, okay. Do you ever pick on each other?
No.
No. Okay. Do you ever sneak cookies?
No.
Do you ever do something you're not supposed to do and not tell Dad and Mom about it?
Kind of.
Okay. Now, they should have said yes to the others and not this one. But no. Okay. So you do those, you do some things that, and you don't tell your, are they things that you're not supposed to do? Kind of? Okay. And when you're doing them, do you know, do you say to yourself, if Mom and Dad find out about this, we're in trouble? No? Okay. Oh, you just tell them, okay? You think about it. Okay. Do you ever do something you're not supposed to do, and this little voice inside of you says, ah, we shouldn't be doing that?
No.
Yes and a no. Okay. Okay. Well, let's ask the congregation. Do you ever do something you're not supposed to do knowing that it's not right? Raise your hand. Do you ever say something that's not quite right about someone else that you know isn't right? Okay. See, the reason I had them raise their hands is because it's something that all of us really do. And that's what the scripture, the first reading, is about this morning. It's about how we know what's right, but sometimes we don't do what's right. And it's not just children that do that. It's all of us. And so what we hear from the scripture is that God loves us anyway. And that little voice that's inside us that kind of nudges us, that voice is kind of like the voice of God saying, you shouldn't be doing this, because we do know the difference most of the time. Okay? So it's one of those passages of scripture that reminds us that we can make different choices sometimes. Oh, you do fight with your brother? Okay. Did I ask you that question?
No.
Oh, okay. Picking on, in my mind, is kind of the same thing as fighting. Okay. And you know you're not supposed to fight, right? Yeah. Okay. So maybe this week, if there's something happens that you're going to get into a fight with one another, maybe you'll say, oh, remember what Pastor Doris was talking about? Why don't we get along? Dad said, praise God. Okay. So that's what we're going to try to do. And that's an invitation for all of us, is try, when we know that there's something that's not right inside, that we can change that. We can make a decision right away. Okay? Will you pray with me? Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you teach us what is right.
What is right.
Help us to make good decisions. Because they are loving. Amen. Thank you.
The first scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. No music today? Okay. The next scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Will you pray with me? Open our minds, O God. Teach us something new today. Open our hearts that we would hear you whispering to us. And open our spirits and give us rest. Amen. From time to time, I buy packages of Oreo cookies. They grind up really well to make the chocolate crusts on cheesecakes, or under cheesecakes for chocolate cheesecake. Sometimes if I don't get that done right away, they sit in my cupboard for a while. And I like having the Oreo cookies there because the vanilla ones are my favorite. The chocolate Oreo cookies can stay there for quite a while. Every once in a while, in the evening, if I'm bored or if my body starts saying, sweet, sweet, something sweet, and I don't have any fruit that would satisfy that sweet, and there's nothing else in the house because most of the time I try to keep that kind of stuff out of my house, there's nothing else, my mind takes me to those Oreo cookies. Now, I can't eat a lot of them because I get sick. So in the past, I might have eaten a whole row of them. But now, if I have three of them dunked in cold milk, it makes me uncomfortable enough that I say, I don't understand why I do that. I don't want to do it, but I do that very thing that I hate. I am such a jerk because I know the right thing to do. I know that three cookies is going to hurt. But sometimes I just do it because it seems so easy. Sometimes it's hard to know what is right. Sometimes I know what is wrong, and I do it anyway. A few years ago, there was a movie called Dinner for Schmucks. Did anyone see it? Oh, you gotta watch this movie. It is so funny. It is offensive at some places, but it's funny too. The premise of it is that there's this Tim who's a rising young executive in a company, and he wants to be part of the in-group. The in-group meets once a month. They host a dinner. These are the superiors in the company now. And the person who brings the biggest buffoon wins. So the people who are invited to this dinner, the employees who are invited to this dinner, spend a lot of time looking for people who look foolish. The dinner celebrates idiocy. So Tim is finally invited, and he happens to run into, literally with his car, a man who runs out in the street to save a dead mouse. Tim befriends this man and decides that he is the perfect guest for him to bring to this dinner. Now, Tim's friend is a mouse taxidermist. He doesn't just save them, he does what taxidermists do, and then he dresses them in, like there's one scene, is a wedding scene, so there's a female mouse who's dressed in a white gown, and there's a male dead mouse who's in a suit and jacket. He's got these dioramas of mice that he has preserved. Now, he's one of the people who was invited to the dinner. Someone else invited a blind swordsman. And as part of the conversation, the swordsman says, "I love to paint." And someone says, "Wow, are you any good?" And the blind swordsman responds, "I don't know." Or at one point, there's a man who has the taxidermist convinced that he can read his mind and that he knows everything about him, and that makes him very nervous. But at this dinner, he turns the tables and says that he's laid eggs inside his brain. And Thurman says, "Get him out, get him out." And he says, "No longer are you in control of yourself. I control you." And the man, Thurman, gets more anxious and more anxious. And finally, he says to
Thurman what Thurman has said to him many times, and that is, I release you, and the anxiety is gone. Now, Tim knows that this is not an uplifting experience. His girlfriend says to him, if you do this, I'm out of here. And meanwhile, he's holding on to a diamond that he wants to offer her. He's offered it a number of times, and he's just not quite the right person. And with once again, he proves that he's not quite the right person for her. Paul tells us who we are in this passage this morning. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. When we realize that we are not able to do God's will at times or to be whole people, then in the bottom of that pit, we cry out and we ask for God's help. What Tim was dealing with was a spiritual struggle. He didn't want to take the mouse taxidermist to the meeting. And yet the reward could be so good. And so Jesus gives us a reply for this tension that is within each one of us. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We live in a culture that is a rat race, and that's another movie. Has anyone seen Rat Race? Okay. Oh, you have, Amy. Okay. It's crazy. People are too busy. They want the wrong things, and they race for it. But we're not like that. Instead, what comes from us might be something like, I am so tired. I've got so much to do. If you look at my appointment book, you will see that it is, my time is committed minute for minute. Every minute is scheduled. I even have to put my family on my schedule. They all have plans and needs of their own as well. I'm exhausted. I feel like I could just crumble right here and right now. Or we might be saying, I don't know how I got into this mess. I know that I did it to myself, and I just have to get myself out of it. How did I get 5 credit cards that are all maxed out? Or we might say to ourselves, I know I shouldn't resent her, but it's just so hard for me to let these things go. I've carried this burden forever, and yes, I know that it's eating in me, but I just can't let it go. Or for people who have been sick for a long time, I am so tired of being sick. Or those of us who want things done right all the time.
You know, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. Well, it's not going to get done right.
If I want it done right, I've got to do it myself. Or maybe you're facing surgery this week. And the doctor is hopeful, but you know, they never really know what's going on until they get inside. Or these children, or grandchildren of mine. That child just jumps up and starts yelling whenever he wants to. And his parents don't control him, or his parents will say, I can't control it. Someone's got to fix this child. And we start to see the people around us, children, grandchildren, spouses, friends, as people who need to be fixed rather than someone who needs to be loved as a child of God. I know there are people here this morning who are carrying burdens. And the scripture today invites us again to just lay it down. Just give it to the Lord. Early in my Christian walk, I was burdened with something, and I was talking to a good Christian woman about it. And I was looking for some advice, and she said to me, just give it to the Lord. And my inner response was, you're not listening. You don't understand. You may be able to lay your burdens down and give them to the Lord, but I can't. My burdens are different. Or there might be someone in our life who says, after we've shared a burden, this too shall pass. And we don't want to hear that either, because in the middle of our despair, in the middle of our troubles, we want a sympathetic ear. And all we get is, give it to the Lord, or this too shall pass. We are invited today to do the same thing that the disciples were being invited to do by Jesus. And that is to trust in God. These are difficult lessons to learn. And it's difficult for us to let go of control. Anyone else who's controlling in the room? Now, I didn't think any of you were going to raise your hands on that one, but I suspect I'm not the only one who likes to be in control. Are you afraid? Give it to God. Are you burdened? Give it to God. This invitation can take us to places that we've not been. It can take us to places where we really would like to be. When we know the gift that we're being given. Sometimes people have all of this on their shoulders, or they're holding it in their hands, and we say, I am so tired. And we can help them to lay it down. Because Jesus says, give it to me. Leave it here. And that doesn't mean there's nothing that we can do about it, but what it means is that we don't have to deal with it alone. And maybe in laying it down for a while, we will get an answer as to how to deal with whatever it is. Jesus invites us to discover a secret that is hidden to those who are wise. Come on in and find rest. Find rest. Sometimes we try to imagine what Jesus was thinking or what Jesus was, what his face looked like when he was speaking to the disciples. And I think in this case, the face that Jesus was wearing was one of Sabbath rest. Come to this place where you can lay it down so that you can see the joy that is all around you, so that you can get the rest that your body and soul need, so that when it's picked up again, you will have what you need to deal with it. Rest is so elusive because we are so busy. And yet we need solitude. We need togetherness with God, making ourselves unavailable for a while so that we will be available to God. Sabbath is the best gift that God has given to us. Because when we're rested, we can give ourselves to others. We don't need more vacation time. We don't need more days off. We don't need to maintain our boundaries. We need a Sabbath, a time that we can rest and find joy and find time for God and each other. Time to get disconnected, not only from people, but also from our gadgets, so that we can be connected to God. Isn't this good news? Doesn't the Word of God offer us a way to live, a way to rest, so that our spirits, our hearts, our bodies can be renewed? My prayer for us this day is that we can lay these burdens down and to be in the presence of God, so that we can be with other people and God when we go from here. Amen. The God of heaven and earth and all creation holds each one of us in tender care. God is gracious and good, and none of us are insignificant or schmucks in God's eyes. So let us respond to the gifts that God has given us. Let us share our gifts for the world and our ministry in this place.
Let us pray together. As you have received each one of us, O God, receive all these gifts we offer to you, that your love may be known through ministries of peace, hope, and justice. Amen. You may be seated.
And let me share a couple things with you. One, Chuck shared with us this morning that Phyllis came home yesterday. So she has been recovering. I also received a message that Phyllis Grochon had an emergency appendectomy. Just think, lived 97 years and you still got your appendix. So she's, she had her appendix. So she's in the hospital right now, and we want to keep her in our prayers. Are there other... Let us pray.
Lord, listen to your children praying.
Listen, as we open ourselves to you, as we are in your presence, it has been quite a week for some of us, with busyness and all kinds of activities. For others, it has been a long and lonely week. Some have experienced ongoing troubles and frustrations, or sorrows and sadness. Throughout all of these, you are with each one of us, giving us strength, calming our spirits, healing our wounds, celebrating the delights. This morning we name in our hearts loved ones who struggle with issues of health or loneliness, sorrow. And we name in our hearts those who have found great joy. We lift up prayers for those who are burdened by cancer or depression, by surgery or stroke. We lift up prayers for those who are afflicted with poverty or war, injustice, or the pain of loss. We lift up prayers for the women and the men, the children in our lives. We lift up prayers for those who are burdened. We lift up prayers for the deepest desires of our hearts. We pray, O God, that each person here would know that you give strength and courage for all times. Help us to remember that we can always come to you with all that is weighing us down, and you will take care of us. As we bring our cares to you in prayer, we bring our lives to you for your healing mercies. Strengthen us. Ready us for all the joy that you place before us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Will you turn to hymn number 2145 in the black hymnal? I've got peace like a river.
stand. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. That God does go with you as you leave this place. May each one of us continue to place our trust in God. Let us go in peace. Let us go with the love of Christ in our hearts. Go with joy to serve God. Amen.